This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Many of you have heard the expression that Jesus came to do away with the law, and that he is the end of the law. That the law ended when he came and died for us. And of course they quote scriptures like Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, which in fact does say in the New King James translation, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now what is meant by this passage? Did Christ come to do away with the law? And what law? Now, we all understand that when Christ died, the sacrifices, the rituals, the washings, even physical circumcision, were done away with. They were fulfilled in Christ. We understand that. But did he also come to do away with the spiritual law of the Ten Commandments? What did he say in Matthew chapter 5? Let me just read it to you, beginning in verse 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." But notice how he defines fulfill in this context. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So this is a quote from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, it was clearly prophesied why Jesus Christ would come, amongst many other things. In Isaiah chapter 42 and in verse 21, we read, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable." We are talking about the spiritual law of the Ten Commandments. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, you read that the law is spiritual. Christ came to magnify the law, to give us the spiritual understanding of what is meant by the law. You see, some who say, oh, well, we don't have to keep the law anymore. We can just steal, we can kill, we can commit adultery. Yes, we can break the Sabbath commandment. You know what Christ is going to tell them? I quote to you from Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Who practice the transgression of the law. My friends, sin is defined as a transgression of the law. Christ didn't come to give you the freedom to sin. He came to deliver you from sin. In the book of James, James makes very clear what law we are talking about. In James chapter 2 and in verse 8, he says, "If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors." What law is he talking about? "For whoever shall keep the whole law, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, one of the Ten Commandments, he also said, do not murder, another one of the Ten Commandments. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." And sin is the transgression of the law. Very clearly are we being told that we must still keep the Ten Commandments. It's a package. You cannot just pick and choose and say, oh, well, this commandment I will still keep. That commandment I don't care about. You see, those who come to tell you that the law has been done away with, that spiritual law, some talk about the moral law of the Ten Commandments. You know how God is responding to them in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, we read, "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In other words, those who tell you the law of the Ten Commandments has been done away according to your Bible, these people are liars in the eyes of God. And they have no truth. They are not teaching you any truth. You see, in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3, the love of God is defined. Now you read in many places that God is love. What is God's love? It says here, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, not to us, when we understand that we are to keep them for our own good. It is good not to hate your neighbor. It is good to do good to your neighbor. See, the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments tell us how to love God. And the last six tell us how to love our neighbor. And that is the love of God, that we keep God's commandments. How can we do it? Not by claiming that Christ came to do away with them, just the opposite. You see, in Romans chapter 5, and in verse 5, we read that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, what is the love of God? That we keep his commandments. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. So when God the Father and Jesus Christ live in you through the Holy Spirit, you can fulfill the law, because you will have the love of God in you. And the love of God is defined as keeping the commandments. Now, going back to Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, what's meant then with that passage that Christ is the end of the law? Now in the Greek, the word for end is telos, T-E-L-O-S. And I'd like to read to you a few scriptures where that word is also used. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where I now quote from the Authorized Version, it says, now the end of the commandment is charity, or love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, the New King James Bible translates the purpose of the commandment, but the word in the Greek is the word for end, the same word used in Romans 10. But it is correct. The word has a meaning of purpose, of goal. See, it is the purpose and the goal of the law to show you how you can love your neighbor. And so, when it says that the end of the law is Christ, what it really means is that Jesus Christ gives you, by magnifying the law, making clear to you even the spiritual components, he gives you a way of understanding it better, so that you can keep it better. It's not only wrong to kill your neighbor, it's already wrong to hate him. You see, a German translation, the Puttloch Bibel, translates this passage in Romans 10, verse 4, this way. The final purpose of the law is Christ, for righteousness to everyone who believes. And that is a very clear and correct translation. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, the word for end is used again. It says, we are to receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Now, Peter is not saying that our faith should end. He is saying that the goal, the purpose of our faith is to receive the salvation for our souls. You can look at another scripture in James chapter 5 and in verse 11, where he says, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So again, the Lord didn't end, right? Job didn't end. What it's talking about is the purpose, the goal for why Job had to go through these terrible trials, that you could understand more about the true God, his creator. Now, putting it all together, my friends, it is absolutely abominable to teach that Christ came to do away with the spiritual law of the Ten Commandments, and that you are now free to transgress the Ten Commandments anywhere you please, and in any way you want to do it. Now, in Romans chapter 8, Paul makes very clear what is meant with that concept that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, as it goes on to say, for righteousness to everyone who believes. What kind of righteousness are we talking about? Not our own righteousness. That's more or less like filthy garments in the eyes of God. Now, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 3, notice what Paul is saying. For what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, we were too weak, because we are human beings consisting of flesh and blood, to keep it. So the law couldn't force us to do it. What the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Notice verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, we have God's Holy Spirit in us, which empowers us, which helps us to keep the righteous requirements of the law. It goes on to say, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And verse 9 gives you the answer, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If anyone comes and tells you Christ came to do away with the law, you don't have to keep any longer the righteous requirements of the law, God says he is a liar. The truth isn't in him. God's Holy Spirit is not in him. Now, you have to make a decision. You have to choose whom you want to believe. Your words, the Bible, or those who teach you contrary to God's word. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.